In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. The gospel today tells about a young man who comes to Christ and asks him a very important question. He says, "Good teacher, what good thing shall I do that I may have eternal life?" Now, Christ knows that this young man is very well off. He thinks somewhat proudly of himself, his riches and his deeds, as evident as the conversation unfolds. And in order to lead him to see a very important point upon which our very forgiveness depends, Christ starts with what this young man knows, the law. Christ says, "If you want eternal life, then keep the commandments." Now, Christ said this knowing very well that this man, that not just this man, but no one has kept all the commandments perfectly. And the young man asked for clarification, saying, "Which ones?" So he's already beginning to try and limit his liability, so to speak. He's trying to want to narrow it down. Christ lists the basic ones. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. And so on and so on. And now, it's interesting that the young man responds pretty quickly and says, "All these things I've kept from my youth. What do I still lack?" So it's pretty clear that the young man felt that he was justified by keeping the law, yet he still felt like something was lacking. And Jesus knew that this young man valued something more highly than God, and that was his possessions. So he says to the young man to go sell what you have, sell your possessions, give to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven, and then come follow me. At this point, the young man goes away very sorrowful because he had great possessions and he just could not part with them. He valued his possessions too highly. So, in fact, he had not even kept the most basic of the law, to not have any other gods before me. His wealth had become his god. And the law of God always shows us how we come up short. And this was, in fact, part of the purpose of the Old Testament. The Old Testament law was to lead us to Christ. In the first part of Romans, Paul labors the fact that having the law of God does not guarantee anything for the Jews. In Romans 2:17, Paul writes, "Indeed, you are called a Jew and rest on the law, and make your boast in God and know his will, and approve the things that are excellent. Being instructed out of the law, you are confident that you yourself are a guide to the blind." So the Jews knew the law. They rested a lot in that. Yet no one, not even the Jews, keep all the laws of God perfectly. In Romans 3:19, Paul writes, "Now we know that whatever the law says, it says to those who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. For the law itself, although it's good and perfect, no one can keep that fully." In Galatians 3:24, Paul also tells us, "Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith." We can't claim that we have earned our own salvation by keeping the law. It's certainly nothing wrong with keeping the law. It is a good thing because that is what God has given us, to reveal to us what godliness is like. But the Old Testament law, that which the rich young man was trying to hang his salvation on, and as I said, though, that the law itself was good and just and it was godly, it can never give anyone eternal life, for no one can fully keep it. God gave us the law, you might say, to teach us two things. What it means to be truly godly. Because if you keep that law, you are exhibiting godliness. And secondly, we can't live up to that on our own. Back in Romans chapter 3:23, we hear the verse that's often quoted, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." That includes all of us. But thanks be to God, it didn't stop there. If you read on in Romans, he says, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, who God set forth as a propitiation by his blood. Our entrance into the kingdom of God, our obtaining eternal life, depends not upon keeping the law of God perfectly, that we cannot do in and of ourselves. It depends on our redemption that is in Christ Jesus. His very blood that was shed upon the cross for the sins of the world. This is going to be the only way that we are granted eternal life. And at the end of Romans chapter 3, Paul writes, do we then make void the law through faith? So is the law just, you know, not any of the use? He says, certainly not. On the contrary, we establish the law. We work out our salvation, if you will, by the good acts that we do as a response to our faith in God. And in doing that, we're establishing that this law shows what is good and godly. Those who come to faith in Christ will receive the forgiveness that was brought by Christ on the cross. But then we follow him, and therefore we fulfill that law. As we take of the body and blood of Christ in the Eucharist, we come, we receive the grace of God in our lives. And then that enables us to live that kind of godly life. And do we do it perfectly? No. We still stumble. But we know we don't keep it perfectly. We strive to be like Christ. But if we fall, it is written, as in 1 John 2:1, and if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation for our sins. Now the problem with the rich young man is he evidently didn't really truly want to seek God. Further on in 1 John 2:15 we read, do not love the world or the things of the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's what Christ was trying to teach this young man. But he turned away sorrowful because he had many possessions. Yet keeping the law was not the point. And that's where Christ started with him to try and lead him to that. Instead, it's turning to God and what he's done for us. In 1 Corinthians 15:3, Paul writes, for I deliver to you, first of all, that which I received, that Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures. And that's what we have as the grace of God to bring us into the kingdom of God. And it covers our inability to keep the law perfectly. Down in verse 9, he further writes, for I am the least of the apostles, who am not worthy to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of Christ. I mean, here Paul, I mean, he persecuted, energetically he persecuted the church. And of all the people who should not be granted eternal life and interest in the kingdom of God, it would be the person who persecuted the very early church at the very beginning. Yet, what happened? Paul received God's grace. So if you ever think, I've messed up too bad, how can God ever forgive me for what I've done? Think of Paul. Think of what God did with him. Turned his life around. And the great things he did. Because he did follow God. And looked to Christ. And you know, when we do something wrong, we've got two choices. We can turn away from God in our frustration or whatever it is that seems to have brought us down. Or we can turn to God's grace and mercy. And we will receive that grace and mercy from God. In verse 10, Paul goes on to say, but by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace toward me was not in vain. So if Paul can forgive Paul, he can be the greatest and became one of the greatest of the apostles, he can forgive us. And turn us into his likeness and goodness as well. So let us remember today the rich young man who walked away sorrowful, for he in fact could not keep the most important of the laws of God, to not have other gods before him. We don't earn our salvation, but we do choose it. We do make a choice. Initially, we choose it, and we choose it every day of our life. Because there's always that choice every day of what we're going to follow. And be reminded that we should not try to hold on to anything in place of God. as the rich young man did, be it riches, possessions, a relationship, or anything that you might try and place above God that we're not willing to let go of. Let us not walk away sorrowful, as a young man did, who treasured other things higher than God. Instead, let us walk away today joyful, committed to place God above all things, being assured that the grace of God is there for us if we seek Him, and this is very important, we need to be willing to let go anything we need to let go that might be becoming at a higher than our seeking God. But we can let go knowing that the kingdom of God is the greatest treasure of all. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.